It's okay to travel on a tight budget. It's okay to scrimp and save, to live off the bare bones, to eat instant noodles when everyone else is going out to restaurants, to ride in chicken buses when everyone else is flying in planes. This is what travel is all about for some people, seeing as much of the world as you can with only the meager savings that you have at your disposal. And yet, there are ways to make things easier for yourself. There are tricks to traveling on the cheap that mean you can still afford to do the things you love, the things that really make this experience great, while also spending the bare minimum. Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the Traveller.com.au podcast. Today, we're talking about travelling on the cheap. We're revealing all those tips and tricks that make this pursuit as inexpensive as it can possibly be. From travelling off-peak to stealing croissants from the breakfast buffet, these are the ways to ensure you see and do as much as possible on as little as possible. To help me do that today, I have two travellers who've been scrimping and saving their entire travelling lives. First up, she's one of Australia's best-known travel writers and someone who's been on this podcast so often that she's pretty much the co-host, Uta Juncker.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Uta. Great to have you back. Also joining us, he's a travel filmmaker and producer and the only guest on this podcast who has to be reminded not to incriminate himself, Tim Sciroti.
I think I failed on that a few
times.
I was about to say, why are we laughing?
Thanks for inviting me in for this. I'm glad you think I'm a tight ass.
Well, I think we all have been at some stage in our travelling lives, haven't we?
Absolutely.
It's what you have to do. Now, guys, I wanted to start this off with a statement that might be controversial, but I actually think that budget travel gives you more of an experience than luxury travel. What do you think about that?
I agree 1,000,000%.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the best experiences I've ever had traveling have been when I haven't had any money.
Yeah.
You know, living on the streets, hitchhiking, jumping on chicken trucks, all this kind of stuff. For me, that's real traveling. And by far and above, some of the best travel experiences I've ever had have been when I've had no money in my pocket.
Yeah. I feel like it forces you to meet people in a way that luxury travel doesn't, because you can't just sort of keep yourself in your sort of beautiful cloistered surrounds. You're in a hostel and you're kind of mixing in social situations all the time, and you're walking, or you're catching public transport instead of riding in a nice taxi, and you're out there a lot more.
I'm going to give you a halfway agreement
all
on
right,
that one,
okay?
Because absolutely it can be, but it's a matter of attitude. Because I also have seen, as I'm sure you guys have, budget travelers who travel in packs and therefore don't actually interact in any more meaningful way because they're interacting with each other.
Yep.
So, and these days I'm all about going home to a comfortable bed. So, and you can still leave that bed and then go out there and do fun stuff and go, you know what? I will get that overnight bus from North Vietnam to South China and see what happens. And then 3 days later go,
that was a horrible idea.
Yeah, 3 days of my life never getting back.
Yeah.
There was some beautiful scenery along the way. But so it definitely forces you into a different relationship with what's around you. Mm-hmm. But you have to choose to take the interaction rather than clinging to your comfort zone.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Tim, you managed to get around Laos for a while with no money whatsoever.
Yeah, literally no money.
Through no planning of your own.
So this was when I was actually 18 years old, quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
But I was traveling through Southeast Asia. I'd done zero research into Laos at all. I don't think I even really knew it was a country before some hippie in Thailand told me to go up there.
Yeah.
So myself and my best friend, we traveled into Laos. We traveled right up to the north of the country onto the Chinese border. Took about as much money as we thought we needed to get up there.
Yeah.
Went hiking for a week through the jungle, saw the hill tribes, incredible experience. We spent a week out in the jungle and we came back into the local town. We're like, all right, so now we're out of cash. Let's go get our money out of the ATM, only to find out that there was no ATMs in the whole country or no operating banks or no way to use a credit card outside of Vientiane, the capital at the time.
Wow.
This was 2003.
Yeah,
so
right.
This is a very different place back then.
Yep.
And so I remember vividly sitting down on the street corner with my mate. We emptied out our pockets and we pulled out all of the notes and coins. I don't think there was coins because like $100 meant you're a millionaire in those days.
Yep.
But brought out all of our notes and we added up and we had something like $10 between the two of us and completely stuck with no way of getting any
Which
cash.
Which would actually last you a couple of days, it has to be
said. Lasted us, I think, 5 or 6 days in the end.
Yeah, right.
But we had to hitchhike.
Yep.
So we hitchhiked on the back of cattle trucks, chicken trucks,
various
forms of livestock transport. One of them actually was transporting live snakes.
Wow.
Which was a delicacy up there. So this lady threw, we're sitting in the back and this lady threw this like sack in Nexus, which writhed into life, started writhing around the back, and you know, it turns out there was live snakes, and it was just, and we were sort of sleeping in the cheapest, like less than a dollar a night accommodation, getting this shack on the side of the road, bathing in the Mekong River, jumping on the back of trucks, and just, to be honest, it was to this day the most incredible travel experience of my life. And I've traveled all my life, and I still, that shines in my mind as just the most beautiful experience, because we spent it all with the locals.
Uja, has your habits with budgeting changed over the years?
Hell yeah. Look, I'm big on get comfort where you can find it.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, when you're younger, you're fear factor is less. And I mean that in terms of when you make decisions. For me, anyway, as a bit older, there's some things like the hotels and the airplanes. I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to pay a bit extra and have a bit more security.
Yeah, actually, I saved a lot of money once by taking a bus from the coast of Mexico down into Guatemala. And I thought, I thought the night bus would be a really good way to save some cash and have an experience.
Oh
and
my God.
I had an experience.
It was an experience.
Oh my God.
And you saved some cash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I woke up in the middle, I opened my eyes in the middle of the night, and there was a guy wearing a balaclava holding a shotgun standing in front of me, who turned out to be a policeman.
Yeah.
Because
that
that's what policemen wear and carry in a place like that. And it was just a road, you know, a police stop, and they were coming through to check what the bus was looking like.
It's,
but that is not a good thing to wake up to, I can tell you.
And I tell you, it's one of the things that I have let fall is long distance bus trips. Yeah, exactly. That sort of Asia, Central America. It's not that they're necessarily going to be bad experiences, but there's a reason that they're cheap.
Yeah.
And it's always about balancing the budget, and you can mix up experiences.
Yeah,
and
I actually do things sometimes just for the experience, even though I can now afford to do what would be easier. Like I took a train, overnight train in Vietnam recently, when I could have easily flown. I could have afforded to fly, but I figured an overnight train would be more of an experience. Tim, do you consider yourself a budget traveller still?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I generally travel on the simple equation that the less I spend, the longer I travel.
Yep.
But it really depends. I mean, recently I've been doing a lot of travel for work, so therefore it's a bit of a different situation. But still, if I travel sort of on my own accord, I will be quite tight, because it just means that I can travel for longer and I can do more things.
Yeah.
And I'll funnel my funds in certain ways. Like, I'll be a little bit tight on things that I think that don't matter so much. Like, for me, traveling point A to point B, I'll go the cheapest way possible, because for me, it's just a way to get there. And sometimes the path itself is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I'll spend more money on just like real experiences.
Yeah.
So,
did you say you taped a bunch of bags together in South Africa once to get out?
That was quite recently, actually. That was only a couple of years ago. But I was in South Africa, and I'd basically, again, being me, I misread the website on the rules on the baggage.
Right.
Absolute ditch sometimes. But I misread it, and I thought that it went on weight rather than the amount of bags that we had. So I arrived at the counter, and I had my camera gear with me. So I had my bag, my camera bag, Pelican case, tripod. It had just piles of stuff, but all of it together added up to 30 kilograms. So I thought, oh, this is great.
So
it's
going
to cost me $8.
I'm down. It's good.
Yeah, I rocked up there, and they were like, ah, oh, so that'll be a cheeky $250 excess.
Ouch.
So I kind of like sheepishly edged myself away from the counter and went down to the guys to do the wrapping for the plastic wrapping on the bags.
Yeah, right.
In full view of the lady checkout. And I went down there and I was like, hey, bro, like, if I give you $8, you reckon you can somehow tape all this together? And he's going, yeah, sure. So
he probably respected your ingenuity.
Yeah, he was laughing his ass off. And basically wrapped all my bags together in this big, bulging, monstrous heap, which I somehow maneuvered back over to the counter. And the lady's standing there, pretty unimpressed. I believe she was slightly impressed.
I think she must
the
have
facial
been.
Expressions didn't let off on that. But anyway, nothing she could do. I checked in as a 30-kilo bag, and $250 became $8. Winner chicken dinner. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Uta, which countries do you think offer the best value for budget travellers?
Well, I think most Australians, when asked that question, will immediately pick their favourite Asian destination, because that's where Aussies traditionally go. But I reckon places like Central and South America offer a fantastic bang for the buck.
Yeah, particularly as it's a lot cheaper to get there in the first place now.
Well, these days, flights can be really, really cheap if you book them at the right amount of time. And it's a whole different experience that will be a lot more foreign to a lot of Australians, as opposed to sort of something we already know. So.
Yeah. Somewhere like Brazil is actually fairly expensive, isn't it? There's South America and there's South America.
You need to pick your destinations.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's very cheap when I was there. probably like 10 years ago. Last time. Yeah, it was really cheap.
Yeah.
I think it's become more expensive.
It has, yeah. But last time I was there, it was almost on par with Australia, basically.
Wow.
Particularly in some of the bigger cities like Rio and Sao Paulo.
I was about to say, the cities have really gone up over the last 15 years.
Whereas somewhere like Bolivia, you know, you're living the dream.
You're laughing. Or Central America is another great spot too.
Right.
You know, your money will take you a lot further there. And you can have these amazing experiences, fabulous cities, natures, ruins, food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything you want.
I actually found Africa to be surprisingly cheap, depending on how you do it. There seems to be basically two different ways you can do Africa. One is 5-star safaris, staying in these amazing places.
Both hands waving in the air.
Which costs thousands and thousands of dollars per night. Or you can do super budget. I did a tour over there, which was a 3-month tour. Starting in Kenya and making our way down to Cape Town very slowly. And it cost me $1,300 for 3 months of touring. Plus a food kitty of about another $400 or so. That company admittedly has now gone out of business. And you would do very well to find it quite that cheap. But in that sort of ballpark, if you're camping and you're cooking your own food, and you're only going into certain game parks, you can actually do it really, really cheaply.
Okay, and so the thing that I want to know out of that is, how is the wildlife viewing?
Oh, incredible.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there is definitely something to be said for those really high-end experiences, because the trackers are the absolute best.
Exactly.
And you see so much that you wouldn't normally see. But for me, this was my first time in Africa. I had no real expectations, and the things that I did see were just sort of, you know, life-changing, mind-blowing.
Fabulous, because there's no point going to Africa unless you're going to get that wow factor hit of safari.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, but I've been back by myself, traveling around by myself now, and again, not had those amazing wildlife experiences that you get in the high-end places, but it was still thrilling because it was me that was going out and doing the finding.
I think South Africa is quite affordable.
It is.
Yeah. So I didn't expect that before I went to South Africa, but wow, just day-to-day life.
It's a place you can feel rich very quickly.
Eating and drinking in Joburg or Cape Town anywhere, man. You can live like a king.
We went to some wineries in Franschhoek near Stellenbosch, and you go to a winery and you're tasting this amazing wine and you think, oh, I wonder how much that is a bottle. Hopefully I can afford it. It's like $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
At a winery.
Yeah.
Just, and very good.
Really good. Tim, what about other destinations that offer great value?
India is very, very cheap.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you go really, really cheap in India, you can end up in some pretty sticky situations and quite uncomfortable. I stayed in a place that was extremely, extremely cheap. And it turns out that each day, it was staying right near the Burning Ghats, so great location, but each day, as the bodies piled up to go to the Burning Ghats, they would be piled up past the front door of the hotel. And we had rats were right
dead center
in there.
Of town, though, I hear.
Yes. Great. Oh, there we go. Great location.
Yeah.
Dirty, horrible experience. Rats would eat through the wiring every day, so we never had any air conditioning or fans all, and we were sick the entire time.
Wow. Okay.
So cheap as hell.
Yeah. I think on the flip side, though, you can eat in India really cheaply and have amazing food, particularly in the south. You can get a thali on a banana leaf of all these amazing curries and rice, and you're looking at $1, maybe $1.50.
Yeah.
At just any old place.
And so delicious. And the other thing is, if you want interactions with the locals, wow, India is the place. I was on an overnight, well, it wasn't overnight, I think it was a 3-night train trip once, and it was hilarious that the guys seated around me, who were all businessmen, became my bodyguard. And they would decide when it was visiting hour. And people were just coming from up and down the trains to talk to the weird white woman who was on the train.
Yeah. What about Southern Europe? I think, you know, often we sort of ignore Europe when it comes to cheap destinations. But places like Portugal and Spain and Italy, you can travel really cheaply around those places.
And not just there, go east.
Yeah.
Eastern Europe, the Balkans, places like that, so cheap. And I can remember probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, so just when Croatia was getting hot, and I was, I think, in Slovenia and talking to the locals and go, well, you know, of course, we can't go to Croatia anymore. It's too expensive. And I said, oh, where are you going now? They went Montenegro. And I was like, okay. And now apparently they can't afford Montenegro. Now they're going to Albania. You know, it's a great idea to ask where the locals are going, kind of go, okay, that'll be cheap. Let's go.
Yeah, true.
You know,
as
spectacular as all the other places, but
Albania's a new spot, isn't it?
Yeah, you've just spent a fair bit of time over in Europe, haven't you?
Yeah, I wasn't in Albania, but I was in Croatia, and that was quite cheap.
Yeah.
And then I spent a bit of time in the south of Italy and Sicily and Spain. Spain was super cheap.
Particularly down to south, Seville, that sort of Andalusian area. It's you're looking at, you know, a euro, less than a euro for a beer in some places, and a couple of euros for a plate of tapas.
And travel off-peak. That's another big tip, I think. If you travel to, especially Mediterranean areas, off-peak, you can spend literally half to a quarter what you would in the high season.
Yep.
I was in the Aeolian Islands north of Sicily, and it was such a great experience. Like, we were very late in the season. They were already starting to board up the windows in some of the resorts, but everything was still just open, and everything was half the price. Absolutely everything, accommodation, food. A lot of the restaurants, we had the restaurant to ourselves as well, because there's not many tourists. And you know, the mum would come out with her homemade olive oil, and then the chef would come out with this fish that his brother had caught that day, and he's like, oh, you should try this one. And it's just the kind of experiences that you wouldn't get if that restaurant was packed to the rafters.
Totally. But you've got to time it right, because probably 1 week later...
We got real lucky.
It's like everyone's going, we're done.
Ghost sound. I know, it's a fine line.
Yeah, no, I love off-season.
This podcast is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. To be Intrepid, you have to be challenged, but that doesn't mean you have to be challenged financially. Intrepid has several trip styles to cater for a diverse range of travelers and budgets. Intrepid Basics trips give you amazing experiences on a tighter budget, with fewer included activities and accommodation that includes camping or homestays. Meals usually aren't included, which means you can eat what and where you want. To find a trip that suits you, no matter your age, budget, or appetite for adventure, visit intrepidtravel.com. I'm here with Uta Juncker and Tim Schirode. We're talking about how to save money traveling on a budget when you're going overseas. Let's talk about sort of some general things like flights. How do you save on flights? I know there's all these sort of bizarre tips about booking on a Tuesday, which I think has been sort of refuted by now.
And it's the whole thing, isn't it? You're supposed to book on a Wednesday, 11 months out, or alternatively on a Tuesday, 5 days before or something. Look, I'm organised, but I'm not that organised.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I just reckon there are so many fair comparison sites.
Yeah.
But there is, and I know someone who has actually done the test on this for a story that they wrote, that with some websites, if you go back and check the same fares, it will come up higher.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, you know, the best thing is to work out exactly what you want to do, and leave the flights to the last, and then when you're ready to go,
research and then clear your cookies and your cache, and that will sort of clear all that information.
Well,
and
that's very technical of you, Ben. You can come over and show me how to
do IT groundwater. But yeah, essentially they're sort of tracking what you're interested in and what you're searching, and they know that that's a thing that you're after, and so the prices get bumped up a little bit. But you can clear your history and go back and start again.
All right, see? Yep. You learn something every day.
There you go, yeah. Tim, what do you do? Do you travel with budget airlines? Is that the
budget
way to go?
Budget airlines. Yeah. I don't know. I'm the most disorganized person you've ever met, so I can't organize Tuesday or Wednesday, however many months ahead. I don't know what I'm doing next week, so I can't do that, but I literally just go into all the fair compare sites and I just find the cheapest flight, speak to people I know who have traveled to certain areas and they might have another flight or airline that I can go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always cheap. I mean, these days there's so many cheap airlines and there's so many cheap fares.
So, Tim, here's a question. What criteria do you apply? So are you willing to sit around in an airport for 12 hours waiting for a connection if it saves you
money? Yeah, that's
true.
There's some fairly horrendous.
Depends how much money.
There's some connections through China that are horrendous.
Oh, man, I had to stop off in KL one time for 16 hours on the way to London. I won't say which airline, but you can get it.
Was that in the old low-cost carrier terminal?
Right. And there was nothing there. It was actually quite... I was lucky I was with a friend of mine. We actually had a good time doing it. Like, we set up at this little shanty. We had actually had wet clothes from washing that we hadn't dried out. So we like set up this clothesline and then we slept on the ground. We had all our camera gear and it was completely open to the public. So we were worried someone might come in and nick our stuff. Yeah. So we didn't sleep. We just kind of took sentry duty. watch our staff.
The good thing about KL is
open, so.
Things have changed in KL now. There's a whole new terminal for low-cost carriers, okay. And it's connected as onto the train line, which can get you into KL Central in about 30 minutes or so. If you've got that 16 hours, now there's
that
lockers, you can
nice.
Leave your bags, you can head into town and hang out for a bit. So.
And sometimes it can actually be better to opt, if you have to have a connection and you're not in a rush, I reckon it can be better to opt for a longer thing and do that thing of going into town and actually have an experience.
Rather
than sitting 5 hours in the airport, have the 8 hours and actually go and do something.
Yeah.
You know?
You've just got to make sure you got the right airport, because there are some in China that are not connected to the city by trains or buses, and you'll end up sitting in a cab for 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I had a recent one in Jakarta, and you know, I was going, okay, I could go into town, I could do this. I was like, no, it's Jakarta. You're staying at the airport.
That's right.
You are not getting yourself snailed in the traffic.
Yeah, totally. One of the things that I've done with airlines is I've basically signed up to a whole lot of mailing lists for a whole lot of airlines, a lot of budget ones, but also some of the full-cost carriers. And they just let you know when there are sales on. And if you happen to be going to that destination, you jump on it.
That's a great idea.
I'm signed up to them all.
You just don't read them.
No, I do read them, but they just never work. It's never the place
I
want to go.
I managed to get return flights to Tokyo for $350 the other day.
No, you did not.
Yeah. And how do you guys save on accommodation? I guess, obviously, hostels offer really great value if you're happy to sort of share rooms, or even private rooms in hostels are quite cheap these days.
That's one of the things that I think has been a huge change since I was doing a lot of budget traveling. Because in my day, there weren't private rooms. And these days, it's, you know, because... that's me. I want my door. I want it closed. I want everyone out of my space.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way to do it. But there's also so many, I mean, there's Airbnb now too.
Yeah.
But in so many countries, there's lots of little pensiones or guest houses or stuff.
Yeah,
and they can give you great value and great interaction with the locals, which is what I like about them. It just means you generally need to do a bit more research because it's not like you just Google best hotels or best hostels.
Yeah, yeah.
But that can be a great option for people who are watching money.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I know in Cuba there's those casas particulares, which are basically homestays. And you get a whole cultural experience with your bed, which is great. What about you, Tim? Do you sort of look out for specials, or just sort of try and crash in the cheapest place you can find?
Cheapest place I can find, usually. I usually don't
Do you use
book
the aggregator
ahead.
Websites or anything like that? Or
Sometimes. I often just go into a place and just ask around and just go for the cheapest place possible.
Yeah.
Airbnb is a good friend of mine. I use Airbnb quite a lot because I find that you can... I like to be... like, when I'm staying in a city, I don't like to be way outside the city, staying on the outskirts and have to get public transport or taxis in every day. I'd rather be right near the beach or right near the centre or right near all the sites or the mountains or whatever it might be. So... Airbnb is great because you can look on the whole map and then you can just, all the prices pop up and you're like, okay, great, that's where I want to be. And then you kind of work your way out according to cost.
Until it meets the bit that you can actually afford.
And then I think you kind of hit that kind of area like, oh, I don't want to move further out. And that's when you just kind of jump that hurdle when you get to it. But Airbnb is good. Couchsurfer, I haven't actually used Couchsurfer, but a lot of friends of mine swear by it.
Right, yeah.
Couchsurfer apparently is fantastic. And wherever I can, I stay with friends and family and friends of family and friends of brothers, of cousins, of sisters, of friends of family. That's how I save money.
Yeah.
Accommodation.
Yeah, good one. Yeah. Uta, what about food? Because the people can end up spending a whole lot of money on food when they're traveling, but they don't particularly want to...
But you don't have to. Food is the easiest
place to
serve.
Is it all instant noodles or what's...
No. I mean, you can if that's your thing. Well, first of all, I suggest if you're paying for a breakfast buffet, you take full advantage of it.
Okay, yeah.
There's an art to siphoning things into your bag. I was actually away with a friend recently and breakfast was included but nothing else. So we did a bit of, you know... we didn't eat that much, so we rounded it out and took second course along. But my friend was hopeless at it, and I said, just stop, I will look after this. And, you know, because we had a thing where we'd have several plates on the table and things on the plates, and from time to time I would take things off the plates and into my bag.
Yeah.
And I just remember at the end of breakfast, my friend turned to me and said, where'd the food go? I was like, in my bag. I was like, I didn't even see you do it. I was like, that would be the point.
What a rookie.
Yeah.
Apart from that, more strictly proper ways of stretching your budget further. Mm-hmm. In a lot of countries, lunch is much cheaper than dinner in restaurants.
Yes. Okay.
So it can, you know, France, Spain, yep. Japan, whole bunch of places. Mm-hmm. So if you can just switch your eating patterns, it's actually not that, I don't find it hard, you know.
Yep.
Have your main meal and then graze on stuff later. Mm. Work out where in the, whichever country or town you're in, where is the place with the cheap food? It may be the local markets.
Yeah.
It may be street stalls. It may be in Japan, the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's quality food there.
Have really good food and it costs nothing. And okay, sometimes you're looking at the packet going, I don't actually know what you are, but I bet you're delicious. Come home with me. And it's great. So there's lots of fabulous ways you can eat well for not a lot of money.
Yeah. What about you, Tim? You recommend supermarkets, do you?
Supermarkets all the way.
That's another great one.
Yeah. I mean, especially in Europe, you know, the Holy Trinity, bread, cheese and ham.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be bread, cheese and wine.
Well, yeah, that's...
because that is also cheap.
Yeah. Depends how cheap you're being.
Yeah.
But yeah, wine... A few euros more, you can get a half decent bottle of wine.
Well, €2 for a decent bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to mention drinking actually, because particularly,
of course you were, Ben.
Particularly in Europe, if you buy beer from supermarkets and wine as well, it's so much cheaper. You know, you're less than a euro for a beer, or far less than a euro for a beer.
And then, depending which country you're in. You take your bottles back to the supermarket and you get your deposit back and then you've got enough to buy another one. It's
Germany's
great.
Cost you money not to.
in Berlin, like if you're looking to have a night out drinking, you don't need to go to the bar and spend the money. You go to the local like mini mart on the corner. They call it the Späti. Uh-huh. And everyone does it.
Yeah.
And it's just a thing. You just pull up some milk crates out the front, get this phone on speaker, and then everyone sits around drinking beers for like
'cause it's totally legal to drink on the street. And
totally.
People behave themselves. And,
well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Local people behave themselves.
Local people behave but you can have your little kind of pop-up bar experience in the local Späti and you spend hardly any money compared to going to a bar. I mean, if you want to go to a bar or a nightclub, you can spend an entire week's budget in a night.
Yeah.
Pre-gaming is a very important part of that experience.
Yeah. And Europeans seem to be pretty into that.
Yeah.
Most people are down with it. What about, let's talk about public transport or getting around cities.
Public transport, yes.
You're a fan.
Don't get a
no
cab
taxis?
If you can get a public transport. Don't get public transport if you can walk.
Yes.
It's going to save you lots of money.
Yep.
It's going to keep you fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get you experiencing the destination in a whole different way.
Yes.
The only thing you have to be good at is estimating distances on a map.
Is that not your specialty?
I am pretty good at.
Google Maps is amazing for that now, because you can now watch your little blue dot moving around and realize that I'm about to arrive in the place that I want to get to, and off you get from the bus. Because buses are difficult. I love traveling on buses in cities, but often they don't announce which station you're or which stop you're arriving at. And so you're not completely sure if you should be getting off or not. You're sort of looking around for landmarks. Look at Google Maps and there's the blue dot.
That's part of working out this great big city, going, okay, well, it's 13 stops and the places before are this, and I need to work out roughly where we're at.
But throw in light rail, throw in all the connections, and it gets very complicated.
Yeah.
I find anyway.
You just plug in.
Tim, we know organisation is not your strong
suit. But I'm also rarely organised enough to have a SIM card in my phone, so I often find myself getting lost anyway.
Right, there you go. But do you use a lot of public transport when you travel?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, I find...
It can be so cheap. I mean, Australia is a kind of an outlier in that our public transport is quite expensive, but most other cities
are
so cheap.
It's so cheap, and you get to see how a city works and the rhythms of it, and I love that. My favourite one, and I'm pretty sure you've done this too, Ben, is the cable car in La Paz.
Oh, yeah. That's
which
great.
Costs you, I tried to work it out, I think it's 35 cents.
Yep.
And you get the most miraculous view of the city, you get out of the traffic, and it's kind of like you get to the end and you're actually going somewhere and you go, let's just do that again. Yeah. That was great fun.
Yeah, it's basically a ski gondola, isn't it?
That covers... This, I mean, the city is enormous and it's set in a really steep bowl, so you get these spectacular vistas on all sides.
Yeah.
And it's modern and it's clean and it's a great experience in every which way you can think of.
Yeah, particularly when you look down below you and you see the traffic. And think, boy, I'm glad I'm not down in that. do you guys use reward schemes at all, like frequent flyers or loyalty hotel schemes or any of those sort of... I'm going to assume, Tim, that you do not.
I use frequent flyers.
Oh, yeah?
Do you
actually make use of them? Does it work for you?
No, because I'm always going for the cheapest airline.
Yeah.
So it's often not the cheapest airline. Yeah. But, yeah, I've used it in the past, like... Yeah, I've actually got quite a bunch of free flights from my rewards with frequent flyers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know people like a guy that I'm actually sailing on a boat randomly at the moment, but there's a guy on the boat from the States and they get really good rewards points on the credit cards that they sign up for in the States.
Yeah.
And he's got so many points just from using his credit cards, not from traveling itself, but just from using credit cards, that he's literally buying tickets for everyone on the boat and then they're paying him half the price and he's making money out of it. Because they have just so many incredible rewards points.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But me, not so much.
Yeah.
So.
How about you, Uta?
Yeah. So frequent flyer, definitely. And I will pay a bit extra for a flight if I have a particular, you know, goal point that I want to, points that I want to reach to, whatever. And that works well for me. But it's the sort of thing you need commitment, right?
Yeah.
So hotels, I belong to half a dozen different schemes and none of them actually bring me anything because I'm I'm not committed to any of them. I'm playing the field with the hotels and they bring me no rewards whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that's my problem as well. I'm not loyal to any brand in particular. I will just go with whatever's cheapest, really. Yeah. And so that does not result
in a
lot of
points. And then they treat
you
with disdain.
They do, absolutely. Reasonably so as well.
But loyalty can be rewarded. So I've heard.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm told. Yeah. Now, guys, just to finish off, I thought we would talk about the opposite end of the scale and talk about the one thing that you would always like to splurge money on. Because that's one of the great things, I think, about saving all this money is that you get to spend it on something that you really love and some sort of luxury that brings you a lot of joy.
What's yours, Ben?
Look, mine is, I'm going to have to say, not necessarily high-end dining, but expensive fancy food that I love. It's basically like going out to see Lionel Messi play football. It's the best of the best. And you know that it brings me joy. I love eating great food, so I will quite happily stay in a dodgy hostel at $20 a night and then go and spend $200 on a meal because that's what I love. So how about you, Uta?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same, but I will also if I'm doing a trip that I am watching the budget, I will then save something special for last, and it might be a great meal. Or it might be a great hotel, or, you know, that you just have 2 days of being a princess.
Yeah.
Which is not enough, but it gets you through till the next year.
Yeah, yeah. Food as well.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Food and good drinks. If I had an unlimited budget for a night, I would transport myself to Tokyo and I would just eat as much food, drink as much sake as I possibly could. And then that's what I would splurge all my money on.
Yeah.
And then I'd be happy for the rest of my life.
You could throw down some serious cash doing that, too.
Oh, yes. That's why I haven't done it.
Yeah. All right, well, Tim and Uta, thanks very much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us on Flight of Fancy. This is the last episode in this series, but we'll be back very soon with all new episodes. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes or your favourite podcasting app and go to traveller.com.au to read plenty of great stories.